everybody, and welcome to the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ryan, and we have with us today one of our colleagues, Cynthia Moreau. Cynthia, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you. I'm happy to be here today. My name is Cynthia Moreau. I'm currently an assistant professor at Nova Southeastern University College of Pharmacy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and my specialty area of practice is ambulatory care practice.
And we're really excited to have Cynthia with us today because she actually did a webinar that I listened to and I thought was very interesting about virtual rotations. And I think that's kind of a hot topic for all of us right now as we're trying to think of different ways to do experiential education. So I was hoping that we could talk to her a little bit about that. So kind of to start off, why did you decide to change your rotation to a virtual rotation? Was it because of COVID or did you have this kind of in mind before that happened?
So the decision to convert to a virtual rotation was entirely because of COVID. It wasn't really anything that I had planned or on my radar prior to the start of the pandemic. So as I mentioned, I practice in ambulatory care practice. So my practice site specifically is within a primary care office, like a private outpatient practice. And as the pandemic started in the middle of March, obviously for those of us that work in academia, we know that classrooms were kind of shut down as at universities across the country. And obviously that brought a lot of challenges for the experiential side as well. So not only did we transition our classes online, but a lot of us faculty had to transition our rotations online. And that was specifically the case for me because there were kind of new protocols implemented at my practice site in order to minimize the exposure to the staff, the patients, et cetera. So they kind of were trying to minimize the number of extra people that were on site. Hence, I had to kind of step away from the clinic. So at the point that started in mid-March, I had one student on rotation with me. And luckily, she had already completed 4 out of 6 weeks of the rotation. And she had already gotten a lot of face-to-face time with myself, the patients, the providers. So I just transitioned her to online at that point and finished up with, you know, case discussions, assignments, et cetera. And then the real challenge kind of presented itself in the month of May because I was still working remotely and now I had a new batch of students. So that's kind of when I really had to fully transition the full 6 week rotation to a virtual format.
And I know that's a challenge that's not unique to you. A lot of our preceptors are going through similar circumstances in the wake of this pandemic. So what types of activities do you have students do when they're completing the virtual rotation to meet the requirements of the experience?
Right. So obviously one of the biggest challenges transitioning from a face-to-face traditional rotation to virtual was really the loss of the student interactions with the patients and the staff at the clinic. So that was what I was most worried about. And unfortunately, it is a little bit challenging for me to complete services, patient care services remotely, while also giving the students remote access to the EMR so that they can look at patient charts and things like that. So I really had to get kind of creative while also thinking of what could they do in terms of direct patient care to meet the requirements, especially for an ambulatory care rotation. So the way I kind of designed my calendar for the virtual 6 week experience is each week kind of has a disease state focus. So week one, for example, of the rotation is typically a diabetes focus. So I task the student with a couple of different activities throughout the week related to the disease state. First being like a disease state presentation, a pretty comprehensive presentation that they're responsible for putting together and then delivering to me. We usually meet early in the week for the student to do that, and then I'll ask them questions and we'll have a discussion about the disease state and management of the disease. Then along with that, I give them a patient case to review. I've had a lot of help looking at the resources like on Access Pharmacy, for example, to pull patient cases related to the topics that we're covering. So I give the student the patient case. Again, kind of using diabetes as the example, it's a diabetes-focused patient case, and they are responsible within that, you know, four-day time period before we meet to discuss the case. They work up the case, write a soap note, and then we meet via Zoom for them to present the case to me, and then we discuss all of the treatment kind of alternatives and their clinical decision skills and all of that to make sure that they really truly worked up the case. And then in addition to that, throughout the week and throughout the rotation, they're completing journal club assignments. Also something I added during the rotation was to have them do NAPLEX review questions, which is not something I was previously doing, but I was kind of thinking of what would be valuable activities to fill their time since we didn't have kind of those day-to-day demands of being, you know, working at a busy clinic. So I was looking for ways to make sure they were working on valuable assignments. So every week they have to do NAPLEX review questions, again, through Access Pharmacy that are aligned with the disease state that we're covering. I also introduced a new kind of presentation style that I had never done with my students before, something known as a clinical debate is what I called it. So I have the students present kind of a, two students present kind of a clinically controversial topic and present kind of both sides of the topic. So most recently I had my students present kind of on the benefits and harms of ACE inhibitors and ARBs for patients with COVID-19, which kind of is a timely topic, obviously. And then finally, in terms of the direct patient care component, again, that was the most challenging for me to really incorporate in a systematic and meaningful way. But one thing I have been able to continue having my students involved in is doing some medication adherence phone calls for the patients at my clinic. So we receive reports regarding from the insurance companies for patients that are maybe not so perfect with their adherence for chronic medications such as statins, ACE inhibitors, etc. So we, you know, based on the date that they would be due for their refill, we contact patients and make sure that they're doing okay and that they are going to be picking up the medication on time. So that's been an easy way for me to kind of, you know, pull information from the EMR, pass it along to the student, and then the student completes the phone call and they're still interacting with patients in that way.
And I'm sure all of this takes a lot of different resources. And I know that you mentioned Access Pharmacy, and I think you said the Kaplan review questions. And I think many of our listening schools have access to Access Pharmacy. Can you share, other than maybe that, can you share other resources that maybe you use or you might suggest to somebody who's interested in doing this?
Sure. So Access Pharmacy has probably been my favorite resource, as you mentioned. So specifically on Access Pharmacy, I use the DePuro Pharmacotherapy Casebook to help me find the cases to assign the students. I haven't used the Kaplan review questions that you mentioned, but I have used the McGraw-Hill NAPLEX review questions that, again, are available on Access Pharmacy. Also, another good spot to find patient cases and kind of practice questions and things like that that I've investigated is the APHA library. So that's another good resource for us as preceptors. And then another resource that I am currently using that has made my life a lot easier is I use our learning management system, Canvas, to kind of organize a lot of the resources for my rotation. So I will upload readings, templates for the students to use, and then using the discussion board, the student can upload assignments on there, and then I can go review when I'm ready. So that kind of minimizes a lot of the email traffic in my inbox, especially when I'm precepting multiple students at a time and they're submitting a bunch of different assignments. So I know not every preceptor, especially if they're not affiliated, you know, with an academic institution directly, may not have access to a learning management system, but Google Classroom is another kind of resource I've looked at that is free and could kind of accomplish probably some of those same goals, and Padlet as well, I think, in terms of maybe having a central database for a preceptor to house a lot of their rotation resources, especially if you're not really seeing your student face-to-face as often as you were seeing them before.
Yeah, and I'll just put my experiential hat on for a second and say you can work with your experiential department. They may have some of these solutions in place or ideas on how you can achieve these things as well. Mm-hmm. I want to just touch on any clinical pearls that you have to share with preceptors who might be considering moving to a virtual rotation or who would like to but are not sure the best way to move forward. What suggestions do you have for them?
I think the initial planning and really kind of assessing my rotation calendar to see how I was going to make this switch really feasible and how it was going to be successful took some time. I think that preceptors can sit down, look at their rotation calendars and try to see what existing learning opportunities are there that could be converted to a remote type of self-study project maybe that the student could do. I know at my institution, one of the things that's happening is that some hospitals are doing like a hybrid. So they have the students on site maybe 1 or 2 days per week, and then the rest of the time the student is working remotely from home. So I think if you can kind of, you know, look at the calendar, see what activities are on there, and maybe switch something that normally you would do face-to-face with your student to something that they can work on by themselves, I think that that is a good kind of first approach when looking at your calendar. I think kind of the example of that for me was when I was describing those disease state presentations that I have the students do, typically what that used to look like in my normal face-to-face rotation is just kind of a topic discussion face-to-face with the student, more like an informal discussion about the disease state. So now I've shifted kind of the bulk of the work on the student, and they have to spend more time developing a presentation and putting it together. So it kind of has shifted the accountability of the learning a little bit more to them, and now they can work on it by themselves remotely. And then kind of thinking creatively, maybe like new activities that a preceptor could add to their rotation experience. So for me, again, that was kind of adding those NAPLEX questions as a weekly assignment that the student has to do. Even thinking about adding some sort of career planning activities to the rotation, maybe now that's something that preceptors can do that they might have not really had time to do in the past. So, you know, maybe during downtime when your student is not working with you right alongside you, maybe you task them with, you know, put together your CV, or if you're going to apply for residency, now's a good time to work on your letter of intent and looking at residency programs and things like that. So those are things I've also tried to do with my students during these virtual rotations. And then kind of another, just to reiterate, I think really kind of organizing your rotation materials, having maybe that central spot where you can have your students access and upload assignments is really useful and time-saving as a preceptor.
And if I could just follow up really quickly. Am I understanding correctly that you're conducting these rotations even without the students having access to the health record as well?
Correct, okay. So I am giving the students, if like for those medication adherence phone calls that I described where they are reaching out to the students, I am going into the EMR, taking the information out that they would need to contact that patient, and then they go ahead and contact the patient that way and report back to me.
I know that's a challenge for a lot of our preceptors, so I appreciate you sharing that information as well.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of my faculty colleagues are having this issue, especially those that are working, in hospital systems that are not allowing the students to have remote access to the EMR, similar to my problem. So I think that's kind of the best kind of solution that we've come up with as preceptors, is just like, what can we take out of the EMR that the student can still use, and just kind of relaying that information to them. It's a little bit more work on my part, obviously, but it's kind of the best solution I have now.
Been a lot of really great information, Cynthia. Is there anything else that our listeners should know?
I think this is a very challenging time for everyone, both professionally and personally. So I think everyone's just thinking about a lot of things, worrying about a lot of things. And if you're precepting students, obviously you probably have a passion for teaching and making sure that students really have valuable experiences while they are rotating with you. But I think at the end of the day, you also as a preceptor want to make sure you're keeping it simple and feasible, right? So obviously my rotation has changed significantly from what it was before. Is it, you know, as good as it once was? I'm not sure, but I guess I could ask the students that. But it's obviously not a perfect world. I'm just trying to kind of do my best and make it feasible so that it's not an additional kind of stress or additional workload in addition to what we're already kind of experiencing from the didactic side and switching classes online and things like that. So just, you know, being realistic, incorporating activities that are feasible, And I think your students will be grateful for, you know, the experience, regardless of what you can kind of build for them. Feedback in the month of May when they were finishing up the virtual rotation, and, you know, some of them had families and it was a stressful time, so they were happy to actually not be on site, and they did feel like the activities that I had incorporated really was a good way for them to start their rotation year, you know, in terms of interpreting clinical guidelines, working up patient cases, doing drug information questions. So I was happy to see at least that the feedback was initially positive.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experience with virtual rotations today.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to be on. And if any of your listeners want to reach out to me, I would be happy to share any of the resources that I've kind of talked about, my rotation calendar or anything. So please feel free to reach out. And thank you both for having me today.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love your feedback on topics that interest you and how we can make this podcast better. Please submit your comments to help us develop content that best serves you. Thank you, everyone.